You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. You are tuned in to WGOD. God's always broadcasting. He's got a word for you today. He's got many words for you today. This sermon is entitled, If and Then. This is part two. Prior to that, I invite you to services this weekend. We have one service on Sunday, and that's at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We'd love to see you. You are invited. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, will be preaching the word here this weekend. So real excited to hear whatever the message the Lord puts on his heart. We will be out of town on vacation, but we will be back here in the house on Sunday. But you are invited. We'd love to see you. I'd love to meet you on Sunday morning. Here now is part two of this message. We're looking at this message I've entitled, If and Then. God's conditional promises. So many, most all promises in the Bible are conditional. They're conditional on us doing something. Most except for a few that we know so well, like, I will never leave you or forsake you, or no one can snatch you out of my hand. These things they're not conditional. They're not dependent on what kind of day you and I are having. That's based on the faithfulness of God. I am with you always. It's not conditional on whether or not you sin today, whether or not you think you've let God down, or whether or not you've had a bad day. That's based on the faithfulness of God and the transaction that took place on the cross. What happened in the darkness? What happened then is what guarantees today God's promise to you that I will never leave you. That's not conditional on you doing anything. That is just a faithfulness of God, not based on us, based on Him. But when he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, that is conditional on you crossing the finish line in faith. Or else this, if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive men or people their trespasses, then neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Now that is what I'm talking about here today. That is a conditional promise. You being forgiven by God for the sins, that for your the trespasses you commit here today and every other day is conditional on you forgiving those that have trespassed against you as well. Here's part two of this message now, If and Then. Okay, onward to the New Testament. Fascinating, isn't it? Have you learned anything yet? I have. Be God's, and the sky's the limit. Number five on your handout. We're in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Jesus says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if
You do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Wow, what a verse that is. If and then. If you don't forgive that person that hurt you all those years ago, that son, that daughter, that brother, that former best friend, that ex-wife, that ex-husband, that father, that mother-in-law, that ex-son-in-law that hurt your family. If you do not forgive, then neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Who wants to be back in the book of Revelation now, watching the sky falling? Yeah, a lot more comfortable, isn't it? Because that doesn't apply to you. That doesn't apply to you. God's forgiveness of you is conditional. And whether you like it or not, he uses your yardstick. Whether you like it or not. Friend, the act of forgiving is for your benefit, not theirs. Holding on to unforgiveness, I once heard Larry Lamb say this. You guys remember him, the 7-foot-tall guy preaching here? He said, holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for your enemy to die. Remember, when you forgive someone, you're a little bit more like Jesus than you were before. And that's his goal for you. That's his goal for you and I. Remember, Romans 8:29, it says that God, it says, who is predestined? See, he's not just predestined you to be saved. He's predestined you to look like him. He's predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You are predestined, not just for salvation, you're predestined to look like him. You're predestined to be molded and changed to look like him. How much has he forgiven you? And yet some people in here remember someone that offended you when Eisenhower was president. After all that he's forgiven of you, that's no big deal. Just remember, God uses your yardstick. He'll pick up and use your yardstick and forgive you with how much you have forgiven that person that's offended you. So I say, be generous with your forgiving. That is, if you need a lot of forgiveness on your own. If you're not a sinner, then here's another one we can write, N-A. He's not talking to you. If you don't need forgiveness, and if you're not a sinner like me or him, then he's not talking to you. You skip over that. He's not talking to you. Here's a few more. Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, on the handout as well. For she said to herself, if I only can touch the hem of his garment, then I will be made well. Look at that. If and then extends to your faith as well, is what he's saying. The woman said, if I can just touch his shirt, then I'll be healed. What did Jesus say? He marveled at that woman. I have not found such great faith. If I can just touch his shirt, I'll be fine. That same conditional promise extends to you as well. If you have the faith, then through Jesus Christ, you can do all things. Now, this woman probably remembered Malachi in the Old Testament that said she believed that there's healing in his wings. If you have the faith, then through Jesus Christ, that verse applies to you. Philippians 4:19. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 10:11-6. If you have the faith, then God is your number one ally. Look out, world, to use one of my favorite sayings. Look out, world, when God is for you and on your side. Next up, Matthew 16:24. Number 7 on your handout. It says, if anyone wants to come after me or follow after me, then, looks like even this one's conditional. If anyone desires to follow me, then let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Following Jesus Christ is conditional. It's conditional. This one might be the most difficult. Oh, for the days of a third of the earth and the grass and the waters being burnt up. If you want to be called by the noble name of Christian, then it's conditional on you doing the following 3 things. Number 1, deny yourself. If you want to be known as a Christian, as he deems Christians, not as this cuckoo world deems them, deny yourself. That is, don't live for yourself, live for God. Don't live for yourself, live for God. Number 2, pick up your cross. That means die to your old way of living and live for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 says, and it's another if. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. You are not who you were. So deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Number 3, what does he say? Follow me. You see, you can't do number 3 without number 1 and 2. You can't do number 3 without number 1 and 2. You see, he's going this way, you're going that way. You've got to deny yourself and go in the direction he's going. He's coming back for those that are going this way, not that way. You can't follow him until you deny yourself and pick up your cross. Then you can do this. John 8:12, I am the light of the world, he says. He who follows after me will not walk in darkness. Follow me, the Son of God says. Again, if anyone desires to come after me, then let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay. Let's throw in one of man's conversational attempts at if and then. See if it works. Because if you noticed or not, who has spoken all these, everything we've looked at so far, it's been either God the Father or God the Son. There's been no manly attempts at this, only God saying it. And when God says it, it is what it is, right? Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to the Apostle Peter in all of his boldness. Peter said to Jesus, if everyone else stumbles, then I will never stumble. Almost laughable, isn't it? It's probably more sad than it is laughable. Notice that it's not that it's Peter, but it shows you how sad we are as human beings and how frail we really are and how we are just sheep. We can't even keep one of these. We can't even keep one. Introducing next the Apostle Paul, number 8 on the handout. Now, Paul's writing doctrine. He's not boasting in himself. And that's the difference. Peter was boasting over how good that he was. Paul's laying the doctrine down, laying the foundation for Christianity. So when Paul says in Romans 8:37, he says, if God is for me, then who can be against me? I guess the question is God for you? Is God for you, church? Then why are you upset? God's on your side. Paul said later on, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Look out, world. Look out, devil. Because I'm going to put the hurt on you. For what I can do, he's told me to do this. He's told me it's hiding over here, and he's told me to master it. I'm going to put the hurt on this devil. Working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Weren't we just looking at that in Sunday school this morning? Here's another one, number 9 on the handout. Out of Romans chapter 11. It says, for if God did not spare the natural branches, then he might not spare you either. Wow, what a terrible threat. I'm glad he said that and not me. I would never say anything provocative like that, would I? He goes on, therefore, consider the goodness and severity. NIV says the sternness of God. On those that fell, sternness. But toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now, that is the most conditional promise I have ever read nigh on 60 years in the Bible. So don't sit around and tell me nothing is required of you, because something is required of you. Crossing the finish line in faith is required of you. That's going to be a proactive approach on your part. You have to cross this finish line in faith. When the Muslim or the demon knocks on your door and says, are there any Christians? Now, Jesus said those who love their lives will lose it. Those who hate their lives will keep it unto life eternal. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and you'll get a better understanding of what that means. Of all the Christians that have been fed through the lions throughout all these years. Crossing the finish line in faith is required of you. Doing something with the talent or the talents that God has given to you is required of you. The Bible is quite clear that burying your talents in the ground until he returns won't cut it. Church, the message is clear to every soul throughout the entire church age. Persevere to the end. Cross the finish line in faith. Continue in the faith. Don't give up the fight. And 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Don't be passive, be proactive. The Lord said to make sure no one steals your crown. They're after your crown. What are you going to do to protect it? You've got a real enemy, it's after your crown. Sin is crouching at your door, its desire is for you. All right, now let's end this sermon with the most famous if and then of all time. Tim, let's put that up there, please. This one's blank on your handout. I'm sure many of you that know the word have said, I forgot one. No, I haven't. There it is. I'm not that ignorant. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14.
the most famous if and then ever spoken and recorded in the Word of God.
If my people, that would be you, some Jews have lambasted me for quoting this, saying, oh, he's not talking to you, he's talking to Jews. All right? He's talking to the people of God. If that's you, then he's talking to you. If you are not one of the people of God, then there's another verse. You can just skip over that because he's not talking to you. He's talking to the people of God. So don't give me that hogwash. He's not talking to you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. How to fix the country? Four things. I was going to try to do this 4 years ago. You know, I ran for president 4 years ago. Does anyone remember that? I got two votes, my mother and me. Of course, hers out of pity. Because, church, I know the secret, and I share it with you.
There's the secret. It's right there. If you are one of the people of God, then he's sharing the secret with you.
How to fix it? Four things. If and then. If we do this, then God, then. If we do this, then God will do for his people what he says. He'll do his part of it after we do our part of it. Our part, number one, humble yourself. Reminds me of my favorite Indiana Jones movie.
Kneel, the penitent man kneels before God.
The penitent man kneels. That's what it means to humble yourself. Get on thy knees. Which would lead us to number two, while you're on your knees. Pray. So humble yourself. Pray. Number three, seek the face of God. And number four, turn from our wicked ways. Unfortunately, this is on a national level. See, just you or your grandmother or some prayer warrior or Luann in her prayer closet. You know, Luann can't change this on her own. You see, now, Abraham Lincoln, he got this. And this is what he did, because he had the power and the authority to change this on a national level. That's what we're talking about. Not just you or me in a prayer closet. No, everyone's got to put on sackcloth. This is what Abraham Lincoln said. By the order of the president, a proclamation. Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and the just government of Almighty God in all of the affairs of men and of nations, has by a resolution requested we hereby designate and set apart a day for the national prayer and humiliation. Whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men. Can't you just picture old Abe Lincoln saying this? Listen to these words. Whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33:12. He continues. Abraham Lincoln continues. Then, as much as we know that, by his divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, capital P, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now, therefore, in compliance with this request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I, by this proclamation, designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th of April, 1863, as the day for a national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I do hereby request all people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping this day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done in the city of Washington on this 30th day of March, year of our Lord, 1863, and the year of our independence, year 87, signed by the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, and by William H. Seward, the Secretary of State. Now that is what that looks like. And that's what it would take to fix this country. A national day of humiliation sounds like a good remedy to me. So there's the solution to the country's problems. And a great if and then. Fear God. All we can do, really, is what we can to elect a president who would share Abraham Lincoln's heart, who would get up and lead a nation to do something like this, because that's what it would take. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I